Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ocean Lovers podcast. I'm Kirsty.
And I'm Katie.
And like I mentioned on our Instagram this past week, we have a special guest this week. Her name is Danielle. Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
Hello. Danielle, she's going to be our guest this week, and she currently works at the Georgia Aquarium. And you're also the ambassador for the Women's in Science, you mentioned.
Yes, so I am the ambassador coordinator. I'm a co-coordinator with another girl named Sarah Harris. We both run all the ambassadors worldwide for Women in Ocean Science.
Oh, well, awesome. I follow you guys on Instagram, so that's cool. and total side note, but I just recently watched a series. Is it on Netflix or Discovery Go of the Georgia Aquarium?
Yes, our TV show.
I was just watching a bunch of them like in the last couple of weeks with my daughter. My daughter's like 7 months, so she's just like looking at all the sea lions and the fish tank, and I just kind of sit with her and watch it. It's so cute. Yeah, but yeah, so
wonderful seasons.
Yes, how many is there?
There's two.
Okay, I think I'm trying to think if I finished the first one or not. I don't know, I'll have to go back and check, but they're super interesting. I love them. All right, so let's get into, so for those that have been listening to the podcast for a while, we like to do icebreaker questions for all of our guests. So Katie and I are going to go back and forth with the questions we have. So go ahead, Katie.
All right, so what is a fun fact about yourself?
Ooh, a fun fact about myself. Okay, I have a lemon shark tattoo on my forearm.
Oh, how cool. Ooh, that's nice.
Amount. I also have shark teeth earrings in.
Oh, how cool. I like your tattoo. It looks like more of like a fine.
Yes.
Like, is it more of like very a fine tip? Yeah. So totally random, but I want one of more like a more fine tattoo, but every person I go to, they're like, oh no, it has to be this big. And I'm like, no, I don't think it has to be that big. I'm like, that's not how I want it, but.
No, it does not.
No. Anyway, sorry, getting off topic already. Okay, question number two. Favorite place that you've traveled to or that you want to travel to? So you can do both if you want.
I think a place I want to travel to is probably going to be the Maldives.
Ooh, yeah, same.
My bucket list. I'm a scuba diver, so I actually have the National Geographic scuba dive book. Like, shows you like their top 100 places to dive at.
Okay.
And a bunch of different places in Maldives that I really want to go to.
Ooh, yeah, it's gorgeous over there. I would love to be able to do that.
Yeah, no,
awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I bet. And where has a place that you've already traveled to?
I've only been outside of the U.S. once. I've been to Belize, but I haven't been able to dive there yet. Normally, okay. Every February, I go down to, and I do all the springs on the Gulf side of Florida. So we go to Dunellen. We do like Rainbow River, Devil's Den, Ginny Springs, things like that. And I do probably 8 to 10 dives while I'm down there every February.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. How long have you been diving? Actually, we'll ask that in a minute. We'll ask that in a minute.
No worries.
I always do this during icebreakers. I'm like, the icebreakers are supposed to be so fast. And then I always end up asking like a million questions. All right, Katie, go ahead.
Okay. What marine animal best describes your personality and why?
Ooh, this is a great question. Say a giant Pacific octopus, and the reason why is I always have multiple projects I'm working on, so I think I would need the 8 arms to do it. And I just, octopi, they're such intelligent creatures, and I like to think that I'm pretty smart. I mean, I got my first college degree at 18, here I am doing all these different projects, so I just kind of need all the arms to do that.
That's awesome. I love that answer. That's cool. And this is the last one. What motivates you to study or work in this field?
I think my biggest motivator is being able to interact with people who have never seen our oceans before. It's what makes me wake up in the morning and what's getting me excited about everything that I do, because people don't realize being in landlocked areas like I do, this is what I do for a living, is some of these people have never even been to our beach before. And I get to sometimes be their first interaction into this. I get to show them the aquarium and the animals that the ocean provides and kind of get them really excited what they're going to see. And maybe they're our next marine biologist. Maybe I'm inspiring those people 20 years from now that are going to be doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you never know. You never know. I know it's crazy when I've been like out whale watching so many times and I've done like photography workshops and stuff on the boats. And it's just crazy to think how certain people go out there and like I'm sitting there like just kind of, you know, so nonchalantly, you know, oh, we're going to wait like 15 minutes to go see the whales over here. But then you're on this boat with these people that have never even been on like a boat before. Yeah. So it really makes you like take a step back and you're like, wow, I should like, I don't want to say you don't appreciate it. Cause you know, obviously I love being out on the boat any chance I get, but it's like these people are having like this first experience. And it's just like, it's so weird sometimes to be like, you've never been on a boat or you've never been out in the ocean. You've never seen a whale out in the ocean before. So it's crazy. Yeah, no, it's definitely, and it's rewarding at the same time to be able to like talk to those people and kind of educate them a little bit, especially kids. It's so cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love working with kids.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So let's get into it. So go ahead. If you want, you can kind of just introduce yourself a little bit to everyone. I guess you can kind of go into your education background. I always kind of have everyone start with that. And what you're doing now currently, what led you into that, and then we'll just kind of go from there.
Perfect. So my name is Danielle Dillman. I currently live in Atlanta, Georgia. As I was introduced earlier, I am a manager at the Georgia Aquarium. Outside of my job there, I'm also the ambassador coordinator for Women in Ocean Science. I've been working in aquariums for about 4 years now. My first facility that I started working at actually was when I was 18. It's Sea Life Charlotte Concord in North Carolina. I was with them for a while. I started out as a part-timer in the gift shop and worked my way up into management over there. A little bit about my education. I have an associate's degree in science I got from a community college back home in North Carolina. And then I have my bachelor's in marine biology and sustainable aquaculture. And then I'm in a master's transition program with Unity College as well in Maine. It's the distance education program they have. With that degree, it's in marine science with an emphasis on marine predators. So I do a lot with sharks. That's what my specialty is in.
That's awesome.
I can answer a decent amount of questions about elasmobranchs. So I love my sharks and rays, even my skates. Just depends on what you want to talk about.
Cool. I don't know if you know this, Danielle, but Katie goes to Unity College too.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm finishing up in February.
That is exciting. Are you doing the same program?
I'm just getting my bachelor's right now. But yeah, I have getting my marine biology and sustainable aquaculture, but I'm also doing a concentration in animal health and behavior.
Yeah, my concentration was in secondary education.
Nice.
I love that.
Katie, what did you say you were going to go into your master's too after that?
Not directly after. Okay. That's the plan at some point, but I kind of want to work more before I get to that point.
See where you want to go. Yeah, that's smart. Yeah. Cool. Okay. So you said you've been working at the aquarium for 4 years now.
Yep.
Correct. Okay. And can you kind of explain like day to day what you kind of do there? And then you mentioned that you also scuba dive. So if you want, you could always talk about that too. I'm curious because I know Katie on our last episode, did we mention yours? Oh yeah, you mentioned your scuba certification. I think we were talking about that with our volunteer and our internship episode. Mm-hmm. I think we were kind of mentioning other things that could go good on your resume. And I have not yet scuba dived. I've snorkeled with leopard sharks, but that is as far as I've gone. I want to scuba dive. And it seems like everybody else has done it but me. So yeah, definitely go into like your day-to-day life in the aquarium. And then we'll kind of, Katie and I will just kind of throw some questions at you if they pop up. And definitely talk about diving too, because I always love hearing everyone's stories about that.
Sounds good. So with the aquarium, I've been working at Georgia Aquarium for the last year. I actually moved down to Atlanta last September. I started as a lead team specialist in our guest services department we have here. So I was helping run all these shows on the guest side. And then back in June, I was promoted to the training manager. I have an extensive background in training and management. So right now I am in charge of all the training we do on our guest engagement side. So from selling tickets to doing animal encounter check-ins, helping with the dolphin, sea lion, and 4D shows we do, as well as doing helping with development and things like that. So a lot of our team members that we have come in, they don't have backgrounds in marine science. So this is like their first kind of look into the aquarium industry. So helping out on the guest side, we get to educate them a little bit, as well as get them excited about what we work with and train and develop them to see what they want to do for their careers. So we help set up those soft skills. So that's kind of like what I do for a living.
That's good. That's good to kind of mention that, because we're always like trying to encourage. We get a lot of messages on our Instagram page of like people asking us, you know, what should I do to get in the field? How do I do it? And it's so hard to answer that question because there's so, you know, it's so broad. And like you said, like you don't even have to have a background in that to kind of get started. And with me growing up, I was like, okay, I'm going to get my major in marine biology. But recently that's kind of turned more into, I think I'm going to do it in biology. That way it's more broad, because I didn't know that you can get a lot of marine biology jobs with just a biology degree in general. Yeah. So that was something that was like kind of new to me in the past year or so. So it's kind of nice to get that perspective from guests that we have on the podcast, because a lot of our listeners probably want to hear things like that too, of ways that they can kind of get into, you know, into the career without, you know, using the excuse that I don't have experience. It's like, well, you can always make that first step somehow, you know?
Yeah, because I've worked many sides of the aquarium industry. When I worked at my old facility, I did a lot of the education side, but I also did a lot of the training as well. I was the one that actually created all the iPads for each of our exhibits that told you all the species that were those. I helped draft our behind the scenes tours, all of our educational talks and things like that. So I love being able to offer those type of information for people when they come into our facilities like this. So now with my current job, I get to work with people, as I said, who have no background in this, but our department, we consider a stepping stone into people who want to be aquarists, dive masters. For instance, my roommate, she actually started out in our guest services department, and now she's one of the dolphin apprentices in our dolphin team. So she does the dolphin shows and speaks in the shows and things like that. So it's pretty cool. But we get to help and get people to be a part of.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So why do you feel, with working in an aquarium, why do you feel that they are so important for people?
I love this question. as I was saying earlier, with aquariums, a lot of people don't have the opportunity to be raised at the beach or to get to know about these animals, but they still have such a interest in oceans and want to learn more. With aquariums, they're a first glance into why oceans are important, the conservation we're supposed to be doing with them. So I love working in facilities like this because they have the opportunity to show that. I mean, where else are you going to get to go to in the middle of the state and be able to the ocean and learn about it? You have to go to an aquarium. And with aquariums, I mean, most people, there's always people who are going to think of captivity when they think of an aquarium. What they don't realize is a lot of aquariums have an accreditation called AZA. That's the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And if you're not familiar with it, I highly suggest checking out their website. It's free to look at. You can get more information about it. But with that accreditation, it tells that this is a top tier facility. These animals are well taken care of. The employees are well taken care of. Everybody is trained to be the best and do the best by these animals. And it's really exciting to be able to work in facilities like this and have such big animals like whale sharks, tiger sharks, belugas, dolphins, even down to clown triggerfish, and educate about them and show different parts of the world to people who wouldn't have the opportunity to travel there.
Okay, cool. And I think also another thing to keep in mind is this is a great way for people to get, you know, obviously into the field too. Like, it inspires people at such a young age. And I hate to say it, but I can't tell you how many people we've had on the podcast that say, well, I fell in love with this career field because of SeaWorld. Yes. And I'm one of those people. So it's like, it's It's like a tough, it's very controversial. So what do you guys do, any like rescue and rehabilitation and release and things like that? You guys do that?
We do. The animals on site are actually rescue species. Either they came from different facilities that could not house them and they were given to us, or they're animals that were actually smuggled across borders that can't go home to their home country. So we have for instance, we have mature arrays that were actually, when they're really small, they can fit inside of Ziploc bags and Tupperware containers. A lot of them were actually smuggled through Miami International Airport. And since their home country didn't want them back, they come to facilities like us because we're a nonprofit. The government partners with us, yes.
Do you know how often that happens? Like, is that
a ridiculous amount?
Really?
And it happens to tons of different species. I mean, a lot of people who are interested in aquaria, who want to have at-home aquariums, don't completely understand how to take care of some of these species. And they see something really small and cute, and they think that's going to stay that size. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
So sometimes facilities like ours have to come into play, or the government has to get involved. Or as I said, the AZA organizations will get involved and help out with that.
Jeez, that's crazy. Oh my gosh.
It is very weird to think about that people do this, smuggle these animals across borders into the U.S.
Jeez, how do they think they would get away with it?
I wonder that myself, but I have no idea.
Like, there's so much, like, I don't know, x-ray detection and all, x-ray, but, you know, that's, oh my gosh, crazy.
Sorry, dog's losing it.
That's okay. It's either dogs or babies on here. One of them, one of them makes a appearance on the podcast at some point in an episode. Last week it was my daughter Avery that I had to pick up, and I had to like hold her while we finished the episode.
Yeah, no worries. Coco's always interested in something.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, so how long have you been diving? When did you get your certification?
I've only been diving for a few years now. I got interested in it back in when I was a kid, but I didn't get started until 2019. And then I received my open water certification about 2 years ago. And then I've been working on my rescue license now. And I have a few specialties as well. I have a specialty in marine ecology, shark ecology. I have some referral diving classes, things like that.
Okay, cool. And you said that you love working with sharks.
I do.
And you said that's going to be what you focus more in after your master's. Is that what you said?
So my master's is currently focusing on that. So emphasis on apex predators, marine predators, that kind of thing.
Okay. And what made you kind of get into that more?
I've been obsessed with sharks since I was a kid. I mean,
okay.
I grew up watching Jaws. It's like the crazy movie to be like, that made you obsessed with sharks, but that's what it got me started in all of this. I loved learning about them as a kid. My mom, remember being in school and going to the Scholastic Book Fair?
Yeah.
I had one of these shark books that I got when I was in, like, kindergarten from one of those. And I remember holding on to that thing for years, talking to people about sharks, wanting to learn more about them. And like my entire childhood, we would watch Shark Week as a family. We would go to the beach and be like, okay, it's Shark Week. We're at the beach. We're going to watch this. We're going to go out. We're going to do things. Pretty cool.
That's cool. What's your favorite shark species?
The spotted wobbegong is my favorite.
Never even heard of it.
I love that so much.
My screensaver actually on my phone is a spotted wobbegong. We actually have one at the aquarium.
What?
Yeah.
So how big are they?
Very small. They're about 3 to 4 feet.
Okay.
They live in Australia. If you didn't know, it's actually Steve Irwin's one of his favorite sharks growing up as well.
Oh, okay.
I dislike them.
On it last year for Shark Week. Yeah.
Why?
Sharks are also my favorite animals, but have to say, not a fan of those.
They have pretty gnarly teeth.
they're look up some pictures, Kirsty. They're
I mean, is it worse than what we did the endangered species? Okay.
No. God, nothing will be worse.
What did I do that?
What's it called?
Oh my gosh.
Something rough shark, right? Rough something.
Oh god, now I'm gonna have to like look back. We did what was it? Not a deep dive, but we did an endangered shark episode.
Yeah.
And we each picked three different sharks, and mine was it the angler rough shark?
Yep.
Awful.
Like nightmare fuel.
And Peter was like, that is the ugliest shark ever.
Yeah, I hated it.
Wabaga that has like these like little frillies coming off its face. I feel like that one isn't as cute as a spotted wabaga, but I mean, it's up to you guys what your choice is.
Not a fan. Not me.
Oh, that's okay. They're known to attack a lot of people in Australia. They like to go for people's feet.
Oh my gosh. Are they just like more, do they burrow in the sand? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're bottom dwellers.
Okay.
People step on them. That's what happens.
I was gonna say, yeah. Just like rays where you just can't see them. Like, yeah, don't they say like shuffle your feet? Yeah. Shuffle. Oh my gosh, that's kind of scary though. Like, it's one thing to like step on a ray, which I've never done, but I they just would like kind of scatter off, but to like step on that, I would probably flip out if that like came out of the sand. I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you and the shark.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, total side note, but that reminds me of this video I posted it on our Ocean Lovers Instagram story. And it's like one of those viral videos. It's where that scuba diver, like that huge great white, comes out behind him.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, how did this camera person not notify the scuba diver?
Like, not signaling it at all.
Nothing. But someone reached out to me through our Instagram and was like, I was wondering the same thing. So she actually like looked it up, I guess, years back when this went viral. And apparently he had his GoPro hooked up onto a rope. And so it wasn't even a person filming. He was in there by himself and with his GoPro on the rope, and it caught that. And that's why it was like, and then when you look closely, if you ever go like try to look, find that video again, you can kind of see like a little bit of a rope on him. So I think that's how it was attached. And I'm just like, that's even creepier. Like, what do you even do after? You just like watch this great white just pass by you. I'm like, I would have peed myself. And it probably would have
goes against the Patty rule where you have to dive with a buddy.
Yeah.
You should be like, diving with a buddy.
I don't know, but that thing was massive. I was like, nope. I'd probably be a little traumatized after that.
A whole lot of divers don't realize is those camera equipment actually attracts sharks as well, because they let off a low frequency.
Oh.
Out the electronegativity in shark's head. So that sixth sense that they have, camera equipment actually attract them, along with vibration and the beat of your heart too.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, I would have freaked out. I can't even. It wasn't like it was some like little leopard shark that came out. Like, even that would scare me. Like, anything coming out behind me would scare me. And then it's just, no, it's just, you know, huge great white. Nope.
What was he thinking, diving by himself?
I don't know, but that every time I see that video, it just gives me chills. I could never do that. Could never.
See, have you guys gone diving with sharks before? And you said you snorkeled with them.
Yeah. So I went to La Jolla Beach in, where is it? Like the Newport, San Diego. Well, it's in San Diego, but we were on a girls trip for kind of the podcast. And that was like our first, well, that was the first time me going in the ocean.
What?
Like waist deep. Yeah. So I was I mean, I always go to the ocean, but I don't like go like waist deep, just, you know, on a Saturday morning type of thing. Like, I've just never had the opportunity. And plus Monterey, like, it's pretty cold a lot of the time. So it's and it can be pretty murky. So I just never really done it.
Hold on. I live in New Jersey. I don't want to hear about murky water. Jersey Shore is another level. Don't even.
That's true.
Those beaches, ain't it?
Yeah. And you'll have to get certified in there, huh, Katie?
So after I do my pool dives, I'm gonna go up to a lake in Pennsylvania.
It's like a quary type thing.
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
Not looking
I'll take a lake
it.
Over.
You're gonna be like, why did they put me in here?
I hate swimming in lakes. I will not go in a lake. Like, I just went up to Maine and my boyfriend has a lake house, and I was terrified because And everyone's like, you have no problem in the ocean, but you have problems in the lakes. Yeah. Yes. I don't like snapping turtles. I don't like, and you know, there's not an alligator in Maine, but I don't want one. And like, they're just freaky. I don't like lakes. I don't trust them.
You know, I've always been the same way too.
What's that?
I scuba dive with alligators.
Yeah, that's another level of psycho. So sorry. Absolutely not. I saw someone do that on TikTok and I was like, what? And then people have the audacity. I don't know the name, but people have the audacity to tell me that they're scared of sharks. And then like, so with the video of the great white and the guy, like you said, that would freak you out. Watching that video excites me. I'm like, I want that to happen to me. I love sharks. Like, I would love if a great white came up to me, which sounds crazy to people. But you know what sounds crazy to me? Alligators.
Who voluntarily That's true, does because that? You can't really see them coming. Like, they really do blend in. Like, it's,
oh my God.
Yeah, that would freak me out.
Getting worked up over here.
Scuba diving in Florida, they're always like, be prepared. Alligators don't like the taste of neoprene. I was like, okay.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't like that freaks me out. And this is how I assume most people feel about sharks. Cause people always like say how scared they are of sharks. And I don't understand that, but like alligators, see alligators, they'll just eat you.
Yeah. Alligators. Yeah, there's like provoked or not.
Yeah. I feel like there's like no way to really stop an alligator at this point. There's like techniques to like, you know, get sharks away from you, but with an alligator I feel like there's like almost no way. Like once you're in there, you're in there. Like you better swim. Like there's
I won't even do anything. Yeah. Oh my gosh, awful, atrocious.
Yeah.
All right, getting back on topic here a little bit, I would like to know a little bit more about what you do with the, was it Women in Ocean Science?
So what currently we're working on is redoing our entire ambassador program. So for any college women who are interested in joining, we actually have a rolling application year round, and we're taking ambassadors all the time. And essentially what we're trying to do is set up communities at every college campus we get in contact with. We're trying to set up official clubs, get more people to know about women in ocean science and just ocean conservation in general. One of our big goals with Women in Ocean Science is to elevate and empower women to be able to do anything they really want to do. So I actually started out as a lead ambassador with them, and I was the lead ambassador for Unity College, and I had like a small little group based with me in North Carolina where we worked on different initiatives and stuff like that. We would do like street cleanups and stuff because we don't live at the beach, so we would try to clean up our communities and local waterways. But now I'm the ambassador coordinator for it, so I help with Sarah doing some other stuff like that on a bigger scale. So we're working on some cool projects in the new year, hopefully, with revamping the entire program and things like that.
Awesome. Yeah, I follow the whole account on Instagram and I've always thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't realize that was something that you were doing. That's awesome.
As I said, I need to be an octopus. I'm not doing too many things at once.
Yeah, I get that completely. Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Let me see, do you have any other questions, Katie? I feel like I had so many and now I can't think of them.
I have questions in terms of like, hey, do you know this person, but that can be like later.
Probably.
I don't want to like name drop random people. Yeah, from at the aquarium.
Working in aquariums, I did not realize how small the marine science community is. People I worked with at my old facility, which is a pretty small facility, like it was in a mall, if that gives you any idea.
I have one here too, actually, a Sea Life.
Yeah, Sea Life New Jersey. One of my old aquarists actually went up there to help them open up. So like working in this industry, I was like, there's no way these people know each other. And like, I run into people now, they're like, oh, you worked with my buddy at this facility at this time. Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Especially with trainers, like everyone knows everyone.
Everybody.
Yep. I have a lot of mutual friends like at Georgia Aquarium and just like all over the country. And I have some questions for you. That sounds so scary.
I have questions for you.
Not how I meant I'm ready.
Oh man. Okay. Well, cool. Well, this was a good episode. What would you recommend for people? Like I said, there's a lot of people that are in high school or even like first year in college that do reach out to the podcast, our podcast a lot, about just wanting guidance. And so what would your advice be to people that are not in the field yet or that want to get in the field? This field can be pretty discouraging at times. Like, I'm kind of going through something with being just like really discouraged with like what to do right now. And I know a lot of other people are the same way, especially with being landlocked. So what would be your advice to our youth?
Don't be discouraged. I mean, there's no reason to be. Marine science is such a vast field. There are so many things we do not have the answers to, and there's so many things that are still needing to be discovered, studied, or even know more about. And with the field, like being landlocked, I always knew I wanted to work with the ocean, but I didn't know how. As you said earlier, I mean, a lot of people got their love for what they do now with marine science from SeaWorld. I was the same way. It was SeaWorld and Winter the Dolphin. Those are like my two things.
Winter.
I know. I was obsessed. And I was like, I want to work with the ocean. I just don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to get there. When I graduated with my associate's degree at 18, I was like, the aquarium is down the street. I'm going to apply. What's the worst that can happen? They say no. They didn't. They said yes. I started out part-time in the gift shop. You have to start somewhere. You have the opportunity to work your way up, take it, because it'll be surprising how many different doors open up for you. Who would have thought 18-year-old me applying part-time to sell mermaid toys would now be at the biggest aquarium in the Western Hemisphere, because I surely didn't think this is where I was going to end up. And I mean, I just had to work really hard to get where I am. And you're going to have those moments where you're like, maybe I'm not doing enough. Maybe this isn't what I want to do. Maybe this isn't the actual career path. Don't lose that passion for marine science just because you don't see what's going to be coming. There's always more opportunities. You just got to reach out and try. I mean, even if you're landlocked, see if there's like local stuff you can do with your waterways, or see if there's like conservation you can do in your area, or if there's an aquarium you can get a job at and get your hands on something and your foot in the door. And that way you can work up and work at other facilities, or one day move to the beach and be able to research somewhere.
Yeah.
There's different things you can do.
That is very true. Yeah. Cause I'm currently pretty far away. I'm about, I would say maybe an hour and a half away from San Francisco, which something that I was kind of thinking about was the California Academy of Sciences. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, a great ocean life, marine life there. And then there's Monterey Bay, but that's like 2.5 hours away from me. So it's like, as much as I want to volunteer there, you know, you have to commit to like certain hours, and there's just no way I can do that. But you made a good point with like, look into your local waterways and conservation in your town, because that's always in every town right there. So that's a good way to do it too. So yeah. So thanks for that.
Of course. Yeah, there's
hopefully that helps out anybody listening.
Yeah. Cause I mean, what I get to do every day is hopefully help people find their correct path they want to do. That's why I like managing. I love working on development and training and things like that. And I love educating as well. I mean, outside of my day-to-day job, I do local education at schools here in the area. I teach about sharks or coral reefs and things like that. And I go and do it for free because I want to have the same opportunities I had growing up.
Yeah. What do you see yourself doing after you have your master's? Like, do you see yourself sticking like where you are, like still educating, or do you want to move or relocate? Do you want to start your own thing? Like, what is something that you see yourself doing?
Honestly, my heart's in conservation education. That is what I love doing the most. It's what makes me so excited.
Yeah.
And honestly, once I finish my master's, I kind of do want to get my doctorate. I want to have the tiny hat and doctor in front of my name.
There you go.
That might be a while before I pursue that. If I had to pick something I would want to do, I'd probably stick with conservation education, but
yeah,
maybe create my own nonprofit or my own facility, or work higher in education for like NOAA or in a bigger side of the aquarium industry, something like that. I love doing this kind of stuff.
Cool. Do you see yourself like maybe being an educator, like an instructor at like a college, or
I used to teach high school. So I taught high school environmental science as a student teacher, and I also was a TA for biology for a while. And I loved teaching in the school system, but I didn't like teaching for a test. And I realized I like having my hands on my own type of curriculum. So when I started working at Sea Life Charlotte, and I was actually able to do a lot of their education classes, it was really awesome because even though I had a base class that I had to teach, I could get creative with whatever students I was teaching with. So for K through second, we did coral reef seminars. So we had like little felt boards and we made our own coral reefs and we learned what's alive and what's not alive. And then for third through fifth, we did recycling seminars and like how you can recycle at home. That way they can take that information back home with them. Okay. And then sixth through eighth grade was my favorite. That was shark senses. And we actually had like different tables we would do where we talked about like smell, sight, hearing, and then that electroreceptors that they have with the sixth sense. And then we did marine science careers for 9th through 12th. So that's kind of what I like to do.
So you were able to go through different ages of teaching. You didn't just stick with like...
With my old aquarium, depending on the schools that came to us, I was able to teach pretty much.
I see. Okay. So it was more like, not a field trip, but it was more of like, did you go out to the school or did the school come out to the aquarium?
Dependent. Sometimes we would do school visits, but majority of the time the schools would come to us and then we would set up curriculums for them to learn about different things we do.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, but before I started working in aquariums, I was doing a big education background. I was going to UNC Charlotte for my bachelor's at the time. And I was like, I think I'm going to teach high school science. And then I did that for a little while. And then I was like, no, I should be in the aquarium industry full time. So I was able to get promoted. I was still working part time on the weekends. And then I was like, I'm interested in coming on full time. And they were like, okay.
That's really cool. Well, you kind of get the best of both worlds. You're still able to be like really hands on at the aquarium and do what you want to do. But then you're also like educating like different ages. And you kind of get to experience like the little ones. Cause right now I'm a preschool teacher. So I teach little tiny ones. And then I see them go off to kindergarten. So I know what that age group is like. And they're just so much fun because kindergarten, they're just learning how to be like a little more independent. And yeah, that's really cool. And then of course you get the other age groups too, which one's your favorite?
Is there
one that's like more interactive than the others?
I love that 12 to 16 range because they're very impersonable. They love to learn. They like to ask a lot of questions.
Okay.
I love having like back to forth conversations about things like this.
Okay.
I have kids that come into the aquarium that I work at now all the time who have bajillion questions. And I'm like, I love it. Keep them coming because where else am I going to get to answer these?
Yeah. That's really cool. Awesome. Katie, do you have any more questions? Anything you can think of? No?
Mm-mm. I'm just sitting here listening. Enjoy.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, Danielle. It was a lot of fun. Keep us posted on everything that you do with the aquarium so we can have you back on if there's anything new you ever want to come on here and talk about. And if you want to come on here and talk more about the Women in Science program that you guys are doing, definitely let me know and we can kind of maybe do an episode on that because I know you said you guys are working on some new stuff for January.
We are. We're redoing that program.
Okay, cool. So yeah, keep me posted or keep us posted and then maybe we can have you on again and we can kind of go over all that and kind of introduce everyone else to it too.
Sounds like a blast. I would love to.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on. Hopefully everybody else loved this episode and found it, I always want to say informational. I did that the last
informative podcast.
Informative. Thank you. I need to like have a sticky note on my...
I'll write it on my forehead for you.
Please, just stamp it. So hopefully you guys found this informative and let us know what you guys think of this episode. And I don't know if I mentioned this in the beginning, but if you guys want to watch this episode, be sure to check out our Patreon page. The link is in our bio on our Instagram, because this will be a video episode on one of our tiers. I believe it's the Sea Turtle tier. So if you're part of the Sea Turtle tier, you'll be able to watch this episode. And yeah, and you won't get the edited version, the little part that we took out. You'll see that part in the video because I don't edit the video. I just edit the audio. All right, guys. Thanks so much for coming on, Danielle. And we'll see you guys in our next episode. Bye.
Thank you.